step into the light, one step away from night. It's the hardest step you're gonna take, the ship to take you there is waiting at the head of the stairs that lead up through your open mind.
I am the publisher of RumorMillNews.com, a website that's been around for 12 long years now, 12 long and going strong. My guest today is Kevin Courtois. He's RMN agent, KBC Jedi. And Kevin's going to talk a little bit about his life and what brought him from being a massage therapist to a Ron Paul backer and to a private entrepreneur. One of the things that he sells is the U.S. Civil Flag, which we have talked about many times. And both Kevin and I believe this U.S. Civil Flag is a symbol that is going to break the matrix. It's going to break the hold the slave masters have over all of us. We've gone into this many times with that, with the fact that our flag, our United States flag, is in fact the flag of the British East India Trading Company. And so, Kevin, I'd like to welcome you back.
Hey, Raylan, how are you?
Oh, well, I'm just fine. You did a lot of things before you finally decided to become an entrepreneur. I know that you started out with a health orientation. So how did you begin, and what was your path that led you into the into being one of the biggest Ron Paul supporters in New York City? And how did you get from healing to being a patriot for a new America?
I grew up on Long Island, basically, and a wealthy town on the North Shore of Long Island. And, you know, this is back in the 80s, basically. And back then, you knew nothing about patriotism or really, you know, alternative health. And it was just like, you know, and like any other small town, what you were focused on is like finding girls and drinking beer and, you know, just kind of living life within an insular culture. And so, like, I first discovered basically alternative medicine as a result of a, you know, running injury I had in high school. And I went to about 13, 14 different doctors, and no one had any answers until the last one, which was a holistic chiropractor, practiced kinesiology, and he basically fixed me up in about 2 days. And I said, wow, there's something to this, you know, alternative medicine stuff. And I went on my merry way, and that was the end of that, you know. But it stuck in the back of my mind that, you know, you can find other solutions if you keep trying and keep pushing. And so, you know, the theme of my life has been always asking questions and never taking no for an answer. And so, you know, I end up from point A to point B basically because I don't take no for an answer and I always ask questions, which drove my teachers crazy in school, and it made me really bored because they wanted to program me with this, A, B, C, or D stuff, and it didn't make any sense to me.
And sadly, most of the kids now are drugged, so that the teachers can program them in the type of teaching that the New World Order wants us to teach our children.
The drug part, I never really, I didn't come into the drug culture because they didn't start prescribing meds, I guess, for another 10 years after I was in school.
Yeah.
Probably in the early 90s or mid 90s. But I do, you know, like I grew up in a town which was next to a toxic landfill. And so we would have these methane explosions in the basements on our block, and then we had a very high cancer rate among, you know, our neighbors and things. And, my father, you know, had a case of schizophrenia, and my mother was, had a drinking problem. And, you know, I think a lot of that was due to just basically high toxicity of metal and chemicals from the landfill,
mm-hmm.
you know. And, And, you know, early on they were involved in Shaklee, which is one of the early nutritional supplement companies. So I kind of understood, you know, things about vitamins in a very general way. And, not that I really practice a healthy lifestyle, but, you know, I'd pop the vitamins and then eat the pizza, drink the soda all the time. And, you know, it was kind of like one hand was doing something good, the other hand was doing something bad, and they kind of cancel each other out.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I know that you know an awful lot about Montauk, and you grew up not far from there. Do you feel comfortable talking about Montauk and what went on there?
Well, I don't have any direct memory of it, and what I have from the Montauk Project is total evidence, which I couldn't necessarily claim as being true. So mm-hmm. I treat it as a mythology that has some value that may, you know, help me gain a better perspective on life and help me make better choices in the future and perhaps for the planet as a whole. So, you know, basically the Montauk Project was supposedly allegedly a time travel project that was centered in 1983 that would link up with the Philadelphia experiment in 1943. And then Duncan Cameron supposedly went back in time to shut down the link between the 43 project and the 83 project. Now they would move forward in time, they'd move back in time, they supposedly changed timelines and things. There was a massive mind control project where they processed according to Preston Nichols, 250,000 kids through there, and they basically made them little Manchurian candidates, supposedly. Now, I cannot really verify any of this stuff directly. I've met some survivors or people that claim to be survivors, and there were a lot of, like, synchronistic events in my life, but as far as, like, real proof, I don't have anything.
I know. I think we've got two friends in common who both have memories of being these Montauk kids. Have you heard anything at all? These two guys won't talk to me at all about it. And I'm just wondering if you have... I know that you went up to Montauk for the anniversary. When was that? A few years ago? The 40th? Maybe it was 2003? The 40th anniversary?
I never made it out to Montauk for that, but I've been working out in Montauk. I worked out in Montauk as a massage therapist for 8 years,
mm-hmm.
starting in 1999 up to 2007. So I probably actually was out there for the anniversary. I just was actually present for it.
You just weren't present for it, yeah. It's strange how, you know, one of the biggest time projects around, which also seems to include people who have been very mind controlled, you know, their minds, their memory of it completely wiped. It's one of the most top secret things around. And I can see all sorts of, you know, offshoots of it, you know, even going into the Mars base. Because if you listen to the people who, produced the Mars records, he was on Mars for 20 years, then brought back and regressed, you know, to a normal age. And it was like he wasn't gone at all. And this is what Duncan Cameron talks about also. And so I think that the experimentations on Montauk are far, you know, far greater than we have any idea. But I, as I said, I do know that you were around that area and just wondered if it had any, if it left any lasting effects on you, or if you felt that you were touched by it at all.
Well, I, you know, growing up, I had a lot of tremendous emotional and mental pain, and I never really understood where it was derived from. And, you know, I guess you could attribute it to the troubles at home, but it seemed to go a lot deeper than what I was experiencing. I mean, I go through sheer periods of absolute terror, and I could never sleep, and, you know, I was always waiting for the other shoe to drop for some reason. And, you know, like me, the search of, like, finding the answers, you know, led me to Montauk and to Preston Nichols and things, and to, you know, experiencing a lot of, you know, paranormal stuff related to that phenomena. And I think the direct result of what I'm doing today, you know, I'm seeking, you know, the keys to anti-aging and age reversal, as well as I'm working with Orgone, which is a byproduct of Wilhelm Reich's researches, and Reich mm-hmm. was related to the Montauk Project. and weather manipulation, and he laid the foundation for the mind control techniques, which they distorted and used for a negative intent.
Yeah, isn't it amazing that all of these positive experiments and inventions that happen, they can all be used for malintent rather than good intent. But, you know, you told me a number of things about your father. And I swear to God, the things that you told me about your father, I can see similarities in my father and in many of the covert operatives that I know. And, you know, my father would never tell anybody what he did. And then toward the end of his life, he had an accident, and he was sent to a hospital in San Francisco where he kept saying, they're going to kill me here, they're going to kill me here. And, of course, we took him out of the hospital. And as I have gotten, you know, after I married Gunter and found out about covert operatives, you know, I found out later that my father was a covert operative and that he was supposed to have been killed in the mid-60s. And it was just sheer luck that my mother and I were at the hospital that day and we were able to pull him out of it and then kept him in the middle of a, you know, a huge family. So that if anybody got in there to, you know, to kill him, you know, we would have known about it. But anyway, the similarities that, you know, from talking to you, I swear to God your father had to be involved in something, you know, some type of project that was very covert that literally drove him over the edge.
Well, my father, you know, he summered in Amagansett, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they grew up in Brooklyn and, I lived in New York. My grandfather was actually an American record holder in the long jump in the 20s and, you know, a member of the New York AC. And I suspect he was probably a member of some secret society, although I don't really have any direct evidence of that. And, like, you know, my father's sister was another little crazy and off the wall, and she used to claim that the CIA was tracking her, you know. And as, like, you know, a 12-year-old kid, you're like, oh, this woman's absolutely bonkers. You know, but in retrospect, she may have actually been right. Who the hell knows?
Believe me, I have another friend whose grandmother used to see the men in black come into her, you know, come to her door. And then one time, my friend saw the men in black, and then my friend saw the men in black, you know, for another 20 years. And so these men in black had been visiting her grandmother, you know, since long before we'd ever even heard of spaceships. And so some of these stories that you hear the old people say and tell that we may think is absolutely nuts, I think more and more of us are beginning to feel that they all of these stories have some truth. And I mean, just to our listeners out there, think of all the crazy aunts and uncles you've got, and then start looking at all of the information that is now being made public over the Internet, and you're going to have to revamp that feeling that you've got about all these crazy old aunts and uncles. Kevin, you mentioned something that I never realized, that orgone could be used for evil. How can it be used for evil?
Now, orgone, per se, is not really used for evil. It was the Reichian techniques that would open up the base of the primal mind that can be used for manipulation. So, Wilhelm Reich created Reichian therapy, which is an offshoot of the Freudian philosophies of sexual repression. And he basically created a therapy that, you know, led into modern-day Gestalt techniques.
Okay.
And so you would get people emotional, and they would express themselves, and then the emotional part and the mental part would start to merge, and the personality would become whole or holy. Now, so Reich would define a healthy person is someone that had proper sexual functioning, was naturally a revolutionary type that would seek freedom and liberty above all else, and that he prized that over security. And so he was very productive in the workplace, very creative, his mind was creative and fertile, and he was essentially happy because he was expressing all the parts of his personality correctly. Now, the repressed type would tend to go towards evil because he's frustrated, and he would take it out on the world, so to speak. So the transition from a frustrated and ineffectual person would take time to get through the negative kind of feedback loop into an expressive, happy, and healthy person. Now, with the techniques, they would open them up and basically reprogram people by using trauma-based mind control. So they would essentially, you know, either use electroshock therapy or, you know, they would use physical abuse or psychological abuse to basically traumatize the person where they could program them. So Reich, you know, it wasn't Reich that did it himself, but it was in an adaptation by, you know, other psychologists and psychiatrists that probably created these things that they use in the Black Project today.
Yeah. Sadly, I have a lot of experience in that because of what Gunther went through as a POW in Laos. And most of that torture that our POWs went through was all about fracturing the mind and creating a Manchurian candidate. And now they don't have to use the torture anymore. They, you know, they've got electrical stimulation where they can find the exact places in a person's memory where they can implant this, you know, alternative person. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you know that President-elect Obama was held in Russia, some say 3 hours, some say 5 hours. In 5 hours, well, probably even in 3 hours, in 5 hours, a complete new personality could have been downloaded into Obama. Now, isn't that, now, in my opinion, he's a program Manchurian candidate, you know, from the time he was about 10 years old. But wouldn't it be amazing if somewhere in the middle of his presidency, Putin flips a switch and we've got a new president here? That would certainly be interesting.
That would be interesting. I'm not too hopeful for that. And I don't, you know, it's like that's something we can't control. And I think, you know, we're expecting Bush for that to happen. And that obviously never did happen.
No, it never did happen
and,
with Bush.
You know, I don't believe in Reaganomics of trickle down. It's really got to go trickle up. And, you know, in a lot of ways, we need to ignore what these people are doing in Washington and basically take back our country. You know, at, from the root, which is, you know, taking control of our monetary system.
I couldn't agree more.
I
wonder what we're going to do about money, though. Are we going to go to a barter system?
Combination barter, silver, gold, you know. Who knows? Who knows? I mean, they're probably going to try to force the Amero down our throat. And, you know, a lot of people will take it. But, you know, if you start accumulating real money, which is gold and silver, and maybe other asset-based commodities, you'll be okay. You know, basically food is going to be the most, you know, precious thing. And, you know, you have to arm yourself and you have to, you know, have some real currency that you can trade.
Well, you're right there in New York City. How do you feel about going through all of this living in New York City?
Well, I feel, you know, like it's where I'm at today, and there's certain things I can't really do, so I'm not going to worry about it. And, you know, if the time comes I need to move and leave, then I'll deal with it when it happens.
What is so funny is just as many of us are waking up and trying to sell the property and go move somewhere else, none of us can sell. We're all stuck. It's like a conspiracy to make us, I mean, just if we wake up, we're heading for the hills, buying the property, you know, with a little creek on it so that we can really survive. Suddenly the market crashes, nobody can sell, and so even those of us who have awakened and wanted to move, we're stuck.
Mm-hmm. Well, that, you know, this gets into play with adaptation and evolution. You know, so one of the things that I've been, you know, my whole life has been geared towards, you know, evolution or, you know, if they want to call it ascension or spiritual quest or, you know, the search for the Holy Grail, whatever you want to call it. That's my kind of, my life has been geared towards, you know, those events in my life. So what I'm seeing now, you know, like I went through a period where I did a lot of yoga, I did a lot of this and that, you know, prayer meditation wise and all those things I value. But at the same time, I didn't feel like I was getting the benefit necessary to overcome the limitations in life. And it is when I started searching outside, you know, the loop a little bit and started coming into other realities. And one of them is the radionics movement, which we're going to talk with Bill Kirkland later on the next hour. And I found that radionics and orgone technology has really propelled my life into a way where I'm actually gaining control of it. And I'm taking the opportunities, or what other people perceive as calamities, and turning them into opportunities. And,
well, what is radionics?
Radionics basically is using RF or frequency in order to enhance or create a thought form and make it manifest in reality. You can use it
now,
for application for farming.
Was that
healing.
Dr. Rice that created the original machines that did this?
That was the original in America was Galen Hieronymus.
Okay.
Of which Dr. Dean Howell, who was on last week, was the last student of Hieronymus.
Oh, amazing. Because I used to pay a man $100 a month to keep me in perfect health. And, you know, he did. Amazing. He kept me in perfect health.
Well, that goes down to, you know, what is the body? Is it something physical and tangible, or is it basically a set of frequencies? Is the root of it holographic or a standing wave? Are we dealing with a scalar wave phenomena, quantum physics? And if you, you know, look at other theories of physics and things like the super holographic theory, which is the one I'm kind of hanging my hat on today, that basically says that reality doesn't exist and it's a function of a hologram generated from a source beyond this world. And so,
so in other words, all of us are living on the holodeck of the Starship Enterprise.
Pretty much, and that we're manifesting through our minds and our wills essentially the reality that we have jointly.
That's so funny. When I was about 10 years old, I told my mother that this really doesn't exist. We're just sitting in a movie theater watching all of this. Life really doesn't exist. And so that was the way I was thinking when I was 10 years old.
Yes, and I think of that more and more the closer we get to this end of this timeline in 2012.
Now, what do you think is going to happen in 2012? Everybody has a different opinion. What's your opinion?
Right now,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to say it's a Y2K event.
Well,
basically nothing.
Basically nothing. That's what I'm thinking, too. I'm actually thinking that what is happening is the timelines, and now we're going to bring in Montauk again, the timelines that were split in 1943 because of the Montauk experiment, and literally all of the people who've been murdered as a result of the Montauk experiment so that, you know, certain families could rule the world. And so what they did is they went back in time, murdered off all the ancestors so that the kids would never be born. And literally, they're running the world now. I think that the 2012 thing is we're coming together and all of these fake timelines are no longer going to exist. And literally, in the blink of an eye, we are going to have a new world. The world that was always meant to be here, but one that was stolen from us. Our future was stolen from us. And so while many people are predicting doom and gloom in 2012, I'm not. I'm predicting something really wonderful happening. But I'm still curious about your orgone.
Yes.
And can you explain how it works? I mean, I've got it throughout my house. I know it works. I know I feel better when I'm in my house. But I don't know how it works.
Well, if you take, you look at the universal field of chi, or Wright calls it orgone.
Okay, we've got to take a break. Hold on to what you were just about to say. And when we get back, Kevin is going to explain orgone to us and how it works. You're listening to RumorMillNews.com radio on the MicroEffect.com radio network. I'm Raylan Allen, and we'll be back.
One step into the light, one step away from night. It's the hardest step you're gonna take. The ship to take you there is waiting at the head of the stairs that lead up through your opened mind.
And what welcome back once more. This is Raven Allen of RumorMillNews.com. You're listening to RumorMillNewsRadio.com on the Micro Effect Radio Network, and we're talking with RMN agent Kevin Courtois, and I was just about to get him to tell me everything there was to know about orgone. So, Kevin, what is orgone, and what is it supposed to do?
Well, orgone, you know, there's a couple different definitions, but one is basically it's the root of an orgasm. So it's the sexual energy, the kundalini energy. It alters time and space at the height of orgasm. It basically opens a portal to other dimensions and other realms. That's one of the reasons why in spirituality and religion they talk about not having indiscriminate sex. It's like when you open these portals with people that you're not bonded with emotionally, positively, then you can create negative attachments and negative outcomes. Now also in the context of orgone with the orgone generator or cones or pyramids that I make basically, that is a slightly different application or understanding of orgone, and that's essentially reducing the chi or the life force energy that permeates, you know, the whole reality or matrix to a level where it's compatible with like human biology. And that's done simply through the interchange of the metals and the resin, which is a form of organic matter.
So, in other words, all of these beautiful pyramids and seashells that I have around my house, pyramids made of orgone and seashells filled with orgone, they are filling my home with the universal life force. Is that correct?
Well, that energy is there, but it's at a much higher frequency that you don't really feel or you can't really relate to it. So the orgone units basically reduce the frequency of the chi in your apartment, and they accumulated. So you have heightened levels of life force energy, which you can feel and utilize for various purposes through enhancement of the mind, perhaps feeding energy directly into the body, because the body is a bioelectric device. It's an electromagnetic frequency generator.
Mm-hmm.
So orgone will indirectly feed, you know, your body where there's certain life-enhancing properties. I noticed we've done experiments with plants and things where, you know, I had a pumpkin that lasted 9 months because it was immersed in orgone and it didn't rot. So there's like preservative factors. I've had, you know, plants that I've cut off, sheared, and they just continue to live and just in the orgone field for a
while.
That's
amazing. I know you have cup holders because you sent me one of your cup holders, and I just automatically turned it into putting my vitamins on it. You know, I take my vitamins out and I put them on there until I'm ready to take them. And I don't know whether it does any good. What do you think?
Yeah, I think if you have orgone around, it's going to charge food, vitamins, water.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I put the orgone on some of the things that use a lot of electricity. So I've got it on top of my furnace. I've got it on top of my refrigerator. Now, last winter, before I put the orgone cones on top of these things, I even have one on top of my computer and television. So everything in my house that uses a lot of electricity. Now, I was using, this is in the dead of winter, and it was about $400 a month. Within 2 months, now it could have been the weather, I don't know what it could have been, but within 2 months, my PG&E bill, that's, we get it from Pacific Gas and Electric here in California, and so my PG&E bill was half, and now my PG&E bill is a little over $100 a month. And it's going to be quite incredible to see, literally going from $400 to $200, and now it's just slightly over $100. And I have no idea whether it has anything to do with my usage or these orgone cones or what. But I know you say that the orgone cones, if you put them on your meter, that it'll cause the meter to run slower or something.
I've noticed, well, we use the orgone chips and cones and we now put them basically around outlets, on ACs, refrigerators, anywhere where there's power running, there's a potential electrical savings. And so what I think they do is that basically it reduces the friction or the loss of electricity due to heat dispensation, and it utilizes more at the end result. So basically, typically, when electricity runs across a wire, it'll lose 90% due to heat and friction. So I think we now reduce less. So it could be anywhere from 20 to, you're claiming maybe over 50% savings, which would probably happen only if you had a lot of orgone in the house, which you do. And typically I've gotten results of 20 to 40% savings with people. I have a tendency to say on the lower side because, most people are not going to believe the higher figures. So that kind of turns them off, but I've seen, over 50% with certain people. You probably need to put them more than on just on top of the meter. There was one guy that did that, but he also had some other energy devices in his apartment, so that may have affected the results.
Yeah. Well, as I said, I have them placed on almost everything that uses electricity. But, you've got the orgone jewelry that is really quite amazing. And you say it's... Explain to me what the monoatomic gold does in the jewelry. And what about this original solfeggio musical scale? What's that all about in your jewelry?
Well, the solfeggio scale is the original lattice scale. And so... that basically the 528 hertz is the one I've been using, and that's called the miracle frequency. And it's also used for DNA repair currently by, scientists.
Wow, I'm going to have to get one of this. So what does this necklace do? Tell me what it does.
It's another function of orgone, and it is... you carry it around, it does, it'll create an orgone field, while you're wearing it, essentially. And I started originally with the chips, and I would carry the chips in my pocket. And, of course, the natural extension of that was creating keychains and jewelry and, other forms of orgone that could be decorative.
Now, is there any difference between the heart or the diamond shape?
Just aesthetics, mostly.
Okay.
Choice.
They're both
personal
absolutely
choice.
Beautiful. I wish you had better pictures, though, so we could see the colors of the heart. We can't really see the colors of the heart.
Yeah, the pictures will be upgraded soon.
Yeah, but it just looks absolutely fascinating. Now, you also make the statement that it negates the harmful effects from ELF waves and microwaves from cell phone use.
According to the people that work with orgone, the whole network, it seems like they claim that it's working, balancing the microwave technologies and the effects from, basically cell phone usage and things. So I sell a cell phone chip, that's orgone-based, and I noticed one thing it did is extend the life of the battery about an hour and a half now every time I use it.
So in other words, you have an orgone chip that fits inside a cell phone?
It sits
on the outside.
On the back.
On the back. Oh, what a great idea.
So
I probably have that. I think I have that chip. Do I just glue it to the back of my cell phone?
I sell one. No, I probably never sent you one. It comes with an adhesive specifically, made for the cell phone.
Oh, that really sounds great. I had never even looked at your jewelry page before.
I just put it up yesterday.
Oh. And here I thought I had been missing something my entire life. Well, I want you to design one in a triangle. I'm big into triangles, Father, Mother, Holy Ghost, that sort of thing. What about orgone workshops? Are you giving orgone workshops?
I don't give orgone workshops, but occasionally I'll teach people how to make orgone if they're in the New York City area. So I've trained some people over the years to make it for themselves at home.
Well, I will tell you, as this catches on, everybody's going to want to know how to do it. And it can't be that hard. It's just a resin, and it's just basic metals that you put together. Isn't that correct?
It's not that hard to make. It can be toxic, so you need to be, you know, mostly outdoors or a really well-ventilated area.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a lot of work. You know, there's a lot of things you got to collect and make, but once you have the setup, it's fairly easy to make.
Oh, you sell the biography of Wilhelm Reich, too. So you've got a nice selection of books in here.
I'm big into the conspiracy books and the alternate mythology. So, you know, one of the things I've been searching is developing medical technologies or suppressed medical technologies relating to, like, anti-aging frequency devices, Rife devices. And, you know, there's one device that I was making was a Dotto ring by a scientist named Giovanni Dotto from the 70s, and he developed a device that supposedly, you know, cured cancer and would extend the lifespan. And so I thought that was really interesting, and it seemed like a device that could be replicated without a tremendous amount of investment, dollar-wise, which, you know, later on I realized that wasn't the case. But I did have a functional unit for about 6 months before I basically burned it out and ran out of funds to, you know, finish the project. But, yeah, I'm definitely interested in developing alternative technologies sort of from, you know, the garage mentality of, you know, doing it yourself.
Right.
Or hiring.
Now, what are the government regulations on all of these alternative electronic healing machines? Have they come down as bad on electronic medicine as they have on vitamins and minerals, do you know?
Well, I don't think the field is big enough yet, and I think as long as you stay away from making, you know, outrageous claims and things that, you know, they have enough to do without, if you stay out of their way, they're not going to really come after you.
Yeah, I'm just looking at this book by Wilhelm Reich, The Mass Psychology of Fascism. No wonder the government wanted to destroy him.
Reich was imprisoned for selling orgone accumulators across state lines, actually.
Oh, my gosh. Now, you know, you've got something else that I wanted to talk about, because I used it for a while. And what I was using it for, I was a teacher, and I went to camp with the kids, and I came back with the most horrendous case of parasites that you can imagine. And you sent me the parasite zapper, and I wore it for months and months and months, but I found out that it cured more than just parasites. I swear to God, you know that I was born with birth defects in my ankles. My ankles are bird bone thin, and they break all the time. Well, the left ankle, as a result of wearing that zapper, and I have no idea if it did it or not, if the zapper did it, but I'll tell you what happened to the left ankle. It didn't do it with the right ankle, which is it's the other way around. Didn't do it with the left ankle, which is the worst one, but the right ankle is now perfectly healed. But that zapper, I think it rebuilt the bone. Is that possible?
Yes. According to the Body Electric, there's a book called The Body Electric. They did studies with using direct current and actually silver to rebuild bone and regenerate tissue.
Wow. So if I hooked up that zapper with maybe one of my silver quarters on the other side of my ankle, maybe I could rebuild the bone in the left ankle also. What do you think?
Or you could use colloidal silver.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, create a gauze or a pad and, you know, a nice little bandage, and that would work as well, you know. Combining it with direct current.
I think I'm going to try that as soon as we
have
up.
An application.
Well,
the girl that works for me that cured her keloids basically using direct current and silver.
So tell me what a zapper is really supposed to do. I know what I used it for, but I'm not sure that I used it for the right things. So tell me what it's really supposed to do.
I look at the zapper as a very general health device that doesn't require, you know, a large expenditure, and it basically will, I'm not going to say never wear out, but it'll essentially you'll have it for a number of years. Whereas, you know, you buy vitamins constantly, you got to buy more. A zapper, all you got to do is replace the battery. So it has a lot of general immune enhancement techniques. So one of the problems with illness is a function of basically low energy within the cells.
Mm-hmm.
And so this zapper is actually designed to run on millivolts, which is basically how the cells run. So it provides a little bit stronger current to the cells than normally they generate on their own. So there's a little immune system enhanced booster basically by running the current to the cells. And so basic electromedicine, which was created in the 1880s, and they were treating for all sorts of illnesses. Now, it's not there to really treat anything specifically, but a lot of things begin to clear up with regular use of a zapper. So there have been reports of people being successfully treated with Lyme's disease and, you know, various other illnesses, you know, STDs and all sorts of viral-resistant diseases. Now, it's not 100% effective with all types of things, but if you combine it with other, you know, natural alternative therapies, you get a much higher, you know, cure rate.
Well, where did the idea for the zapper come from? Is it Hulda Clark sells them, but was it really her idea originally?
No, it wasn't her idea originally. The idea goes back to the late 1880s. I don't know who the original inventor was. I remember I was at a museum in San Francisco, the Ripley, believe it or not, and they had, you know, old-style zappers that predated from that era.
I know. My grandmother had something that you would that looked like a gun, and I'm sure that it was one of those old zappers. You would pull the trigger, and a zap of electricity would go into you. And so this thing had to be from the turn of the century. And she used it for arthritis. This was back in the 40s and 50s. So I don't know if you've ever seen one that looked like a little gun that had a point on it.
No.
Little gun point, and you pull the trigger, and you get a zap of electricity out of it.
Now, if you go back to the old Frankenstein films, you'll see, you know, they use electricity to reboot or regenerate life. And, you know, maybe don't want to create a Frankenstein monster, but, you know, the essence is there's a bioelectric component to life and health, and that, you know, a device created in the right modality and modulation will provide a tremendous amount of benefit.
You know, I just looked onto your page. My God, you have really turned into quite an entrepreneur. So you went from being a massage therapist to literally selling some of the top items in the world for healing people. I just looked at this amethyst gem elixir. What in the world is an amethyst gem elixir?
Those are homeopathic preparations by an alchemist named Raoul Talman.
Uh-huh.
He was originally based in Yelm, Washington, and he's now in Austria. And he was trained as a alchemist under the Bishop of Cathar in southern France.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, this sounds like it comes right out of the Templar Cathar tradition. I bet it does, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yeah.
Why didn't you ever talk about this before? I mean, here I am on your webpage. I've been advertising your things for years, and I have never seen any of this. I mean, the emerald gem elixir. Medicinally, emerald is used as a balance for the nervous system. Historically, it's been used as an antidote for poisons and demonic possession. Oh, my God, I think we ought to go put it in the water in Washington. An emerald relieves mental fatigue, emotional upheaval, and burnout symptoms. That's my birthstone, too. So I think I need some of this. It is just incredible. I never saw this page before. And then you've got the ruby gem elixir, the jadeite, lapis lazuli. How amazing. And so all of these comes from this one person who studied with a Cathar priest or a Cathar. Who was this priest that he studied?
The Bishop of Cathar. I don't know his name offhand. There was it was actually a story that I read on his site originally, and it basically was that He makes monatomic gold, and now monatomic gold is another one of those mythological substances that goes back to the Bible. Apparently in the Bible they called it manna from heaven.
Right, and it was that's right.
One story I read about Moses feeding the Jews with manna from heaven, which according to one version was a smelting factory that mm-hmm. they had out in the Sinai Desert, and the manna would basically fall from the heavens 6 days a week, and of course on the seventh day of Sabbath there was no work being done, so there was no manna from heaven.
Right.
So it was basically residue from the smelting factory that would mix with the clouds and make precipitation and create a gold flake, which they then used to make some bread and they would ingest. Now monatomic gold, according to Lawrence Gardner and I forgot the other guy's name, but anyway, would act as a superconductor in the body, and it apparently would increase the electrical capacitance about 10,000%. So in other words, it's upgrading your RAM and your hard drive and your memory, so you can process information at a much rapid rate. So if you go back to the times of Christ, perhaps they were alchemists that would make manna or bread, monatomic gold, and they would trade it with other nations or sovereign states, and they had an insular culture where they were able to make money through a mechanism of barter and trade through the expertise of there being modern day alchemists or ancient alchemists.
That is just an amazing story. You have some of the most amazing stories and articles and testimonies here on your site. You must have redone this site since I've been on it before, because I don't remember it at all looking the way that this is. You know, we just don't have enough time to go through it, but I just came on the Frolov's respiration training device. Can you describe what that is? Because I'll make you a bet a lot of our listeners have never heard of it and could really make good use of it.
The Frolov device is it's like an assisted training device to basically regulate your breath. Now, the theory that Frolov had is that basically if you learn to slow your breath down, you can increase the energy within your cells, and you basically trigger a latent response intercellularly to create anaerobic respiration. I don't quite know if the theory is correct, but Frolov basically said that he was able to cure his cancer by using his breathing methodology that he had.
And was he a medical doctor in Russia, do you remember?
I believe he was. There's a book that he wrote. And
I haven't just had the time to read it. Well, you know, Kevin, my next guest that I'm going to have on is Bill Kirkland. He's a friend of yours, and you're the one that suggested him. I hope you'll stay around and help me interview him, because you probably know him a lot better than I do. But the thing that I noticed in the two of you, he started his life, first I think he was working in military intelligence, and then when he got out of that, he went to work as a stock trader for Ross Perot. And so it's sort of like he did it the opposite way. He went from the real business world and then experienced a major burnout and started wandering around the earth trying to, find the answer, to restore himself both mentally and physically. And in your case, you started off as a massage practitioner, and then suddenly you're this entrepreneur selling all sorts of healing devices. And so it's almost like, you went from being the healer to being the businessman, and he went from being the businessman to being the healer. And so I think it's going to be a very interesting interview talking to the two of you.
Yes, it should be fun.
Well, I'm just trying to think if there is anything that we haven't covered yet. Oh, you do sell your book store. You have two bookstores now, don't you? Because your bookstore on your Orgone site doesn't sell Dr. Edwin Vieira's book. So that must be over on your Civil Flag site. Is that correct?
It would be over on Civil Flag site and goldmoneybill.org.
Okay. Do you have a link anywhere on your main Orgone, the main, Kevin's main page that he's had forever and ever and ever is Orgone, O-R-G-O-N-E, products.org, orgoneproducts.org. But I don't see any links on this page to your other sites. Am I?
Initially, I wanted to keep the world separate, but I think I'm going to merge the sites a little closer together.
I think that's a good idea. And you do have those foot detox pads. Let me tell you, I have used them. They are absolutely incredible. The first time you pull a detox pad off the bottom of your foot, you're just not going to believe that that much garbage was inside you. Well, I also want everybody to know that the other site you have is uscivilflags.org. Is that what it is?
Yes.
uscivilflags.org. And that's where they can buy Edwin Vieira, Dr. Edwin Vieira's book, Crashmaker. And let me tell you, I am still only about halfway through the first book, but it is such a fascinating, rip-roaring, spy-bending love story all about the Federal Reserve and how they're going to be destroying the Federal Reserve. And so definitely everybody should get over to uscivilflags.org and buy this book. It must weigh 2 pounds, maybe more. It's the biggest book. It's two books. It's a two-volume book. It is truly the biggest book I have ever seen. That's why it's taking me so long to read it. It's as big as my dictionary.
Yes, and it has a libertarian president as well as the Russians returning back to gold. You know, a lot of parallels between what may be happening in the world today.
Which is what is happening right now. Well, Kevin, you hold on, because you know our next guest better than I do, and I'm going to ask you to be the primary interviewer. How's that sound?
Okay.
And so you're listening to Rumor Mill News Radio. I'm Raylan Allen of RumorMillNews.com. Go over and visit our reading room, see what the breaking news is, and boy, is there breaking news today. And come back in just a short bit and join us again on the Micro Effect Radio Network. Bye now.
Close your eyes and look up in between your brows.